When I was younger, I used to look inside my mom's Harlequin romance books. I soon learned that the truly interesting bits were more often than not somewhere in the middle. And almost invariably, the heroine would be struck by the mass of thick hair glorifying her soon-to-be lover's chest, a testament to his manliness and virility.
Were he to turn around, the truth of his manliness would shine forth in the rays of dark hair that must surely cast out from his strong, delectable back.
But it seems that it's becoming more and more the norm these days that hair growing anywhere but on one's head is anything but sexy. In my own experience, I had to learn to overcome the teasing
hairy
that my darkly hairy legs afforded me in grade 8.
Uh-huh.
And consequently, as I got older, to feel comfortable with my abundantly hirsute chest.
Uh-huh, hairy chest.
This, coupled with the growing number of advertisements for hair removal techniques in newspapers, subways, television, and the internet, there is pressure enough to produce body hermits, pasty white from neck to feet, ashamed of their hairy secrets and yet too proud to succumb to the pressures to remove it.
I am not an animal!
So, where did this anti-body hair trend all start? The removal of body hair for women dates back to the days of ancient Egypt, but for men, it's fairly recent. Traditionally, men have had hair removed for greater aerodynamics in sports or to accentuate toned muscles in competition. But it's now estimated that over 50% of men have body hair in unwanted places. And laser hair removal, a little over a decade old, was the second most popular cosmetic procedure for men in the year 2000 and jumped 340% last year. I went to Camden Spa in Toronto, where its employees have seen more hair come off of men's bodies than a nature lover has seen golden leaves fall gently and forever to the cold, windy ground. As an esthetician at the spa has been noticing this trend.
It's growing. Like, a lot of men start to become, you know, more self-conscious and like to be well-groomed. You know, they are into themselves more. For me, having a hair on the back or on the chest is kind of no-no.
Okay, I'm Hep. So I decided to try out this smooth look, on my back anyway. So I put myself into the hands of Natasha, and she gave me the back waxing experience.
This is the press.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Oh! Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yes, the first pull was surprising, but after I knew what to expect, the whole process was quite relaxing. Camden Spa's owner, Ian Hudson, explains how hair removal is not necessarily done for oneself.
It helps to allay their concerns about how they look to their partners, or if they're single, to how they might look to, you know, prospective dates, for example. You know, my girlfriend makes me wax all the time now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wherever?
In areas at the top of my feet, some parts under my back, which I don't have much hair in the first place. She likes the clean look. She likes to have all those little parts of your body cleaned up for the most part. So
I don't think I could be a regular customer of hair removal, but I might feel differently if my girlfriend didn't like my body locks. I decided to see what the internet had to offer on the subject, and I found an interesting article at thewax.com. Mac Fain suggests that portrait painting began the preference for hairlessness. His claim that body hair is simply not painted in nudes because it is too difficult is somewhat confirmed by my own experiences as a nude model. At first, the painters discussed how to find the lines of my body despite my body hair, by allowing the light to pass through from behind me, as if the hair was in the way of my true self.
Maybe if we put him in a skin suit.
Then, after sitting for days, I found every portrait was of a wholly hairless man. Fain suggests that capitalism later served to promote hairlessness, even after the invention of photography, because there's simply more money to be made by convincing people that they should keep hair off their body.
Oh, and shot, shot.
Still, I cough up a hairball shortly after swallowing the threads of Fane's argument. If it's correct, why would the likes of Magnum P.I. ever gain sexy status? Was the magnitude of his appeal just too strong for the commercial powers that be? So then, will this penchant for hairlessness ever stop? Or will the entire Western world one day embrace the tenets of self-proclaimed smoothies, people who promote and practice the aesthetic choice of complete hairlessness?
Oh!
Thanks, we're talking about Freud, why he did enough cocaine to kill a small horse.
Freud's study of painter Leonardo da Vinci's fetish for shaving off women's hair led him to equate the act with, yes, castration. In the man-woman power dynamic, then, the trend towards men removing their body hair is an attempt to battle the growing social power of women. I talked to Jim Vernon, who has an intimate knowledge of Freud. He's a doctoral candidate in philosophy at the University of Guelph.
The current trend towards male body hair removal would have two different significations. Number one, it would mean that the man confronts his own castration and says, I castrate myself and am therefore not castratable. I'm the one in control, not the women of the world. And B, since both women and men now both remove, for the most part, their body hair, it's a way of, for men to return to the point at which there was no sexual difference. That is, men and women look the same to him.
Maybe the issue of body hair is too close to home right now to get a clear answer from the outside. Maybe in years to come, historians will describe the smooth look trend as the Western myth of the new millennium. Any way you cut it, body hair is here to be dealt with. So, until I feel comfortable walking in public without my shirt, this is Louis Moroni in Toronto, reporting for DNTO.